Okay, and we're back. Hour number three. We're going to go over to Sweden this hour and talk to the man who is responsible for so much in terms of saying so much with art, David Dietz. Are you there, David? I'm not hearing David. All right, well, we'll keep trying. It sounds like it dropped. All right, what I'd like you to do is, if you can, and if you're not on the computer now, just get a chance, go to the homepage and look at the top. And what you'll see, what you see there, of course, is the work of David Dietz. His current, I could almost call it an artistic essay. It says so much. It says, Israel Missile Mart. And there's a Walmart front with missiles all over it, if you haven't seen it, up on top, and they're having a sale. And it's the idea that Israel has been selling American technology to our enemies for decades. And this, of course, is a story that is tied to the 69 Patriot missiles, super Patriots, state-of-the-art Patriots, by Raytheon, found on that British-registered ship in the Finnish port, and certainly secured by the Finnish government before the ship was allowed to leave. Very, very big story. Have you heard about it on the nightly news? Have you seen it in the MSM? Nope. You're lucky if you have. It's been here and there, but very, very little has been said about it because of the sensitivity of the issue of our technology going into the wrong hands. This is an old story, really. We don't hear about it very often. But David's current piece is brilliant, as are all of his. And if you want to take a real trip, just go right down below the art, and you'll see Dietz Archives. All right? That's an amazing thing to do. Just go through that and enjoy each piece. And they actually will teach you a lot just by looking at them. It's almost like taking an advanced course or two or three at a university. There's that much information in there. It's really something. David, are you there yet?
I am here. I end up hanging up on myself there, so I'm back.
Yeah, a lot of people
do that. Yes, hello.
Yeah. Now, the current piece of art is one of 55 or thereabout that you have created during this past year. An enormous output, considering that David is a very busy man and does many things. He's a musician, an entertainer, if you will. He does work for other people, of course. And if you have a book or a project, a DVD project coming up, and you'd like David to do the art for the cover, contact him. He's there. And he has produced some brilliant work. So avail yourself of that. And he's not terribly expensive. In fact, he'll help you out. He's one of those good kind of guys that, you know, there are a few of us around. We try and do the right thing. Now, I was telling people about the archives, and if they just have a time, 20 minutes, a half hour, sit down and slowly go through the archives. And I think there is so much information that would be transmitted into someone's mind by doing that, that it would be really equivalent to taking a college course. Because when you take a college class, at the end of the class, you're left with a few concepts and so forth. You forget things. But your art brings to mind great visions of reality that I've never seen anything like it. 55 in a year. Tell our people a little bit about the idea of creating these things, about the inspiration, about how you come up with the basic concepts and how they somehow translate into these amazing images.
First, we need to get everybody over to the archive. Right under the main art on the rents page, you'll see there's a little button that says Dietz Archive. Go there and then go to the first section or the group one. And that's where we're going to, I'm going to scroll down and maybe we'll go through some of these and look at some of the favorite ones we had this year, because I did 55 pieces. That's actually, last year I did about 75, I think.
Wow. Okay, it would be gallery one. Or Gallery 3?
Gallery 1, yeah.
Gallery 3 is not the newest?
Nope, Gallery 1 is the newest.
Okay, all right, very good. We'll stay
current.
Start
with Gallery 1.
Okay.
And the first one you'll see is this week, I guess it was just a couple of days ago, you emailed me and said, and you sent me the article about Israel sending missiles to China, and you said, could you do one on this? And I was thinking, I started thinking about it. You know, so people ask where the ideas come from. This is a perfect example. How am I going to show Israel selling missiles to China? You know, I mean, how am I going to show that? And I went through my head, just couldn't see how that could happen. And just suddenly I said, well, how about a store? And then a Walmart popped in my head. And then I said, well, how about Missile Mart? And then I saw you wrote Israel, so I picked that up. So it became Israel's Missile Mart. And so I just took I started to search for photographs of Walmart. That was pretty easy. And I just built the illustration around using Walmart, the basic of Walmart. But then I had the Chinese guys coming in, checking out some of the specials. And the first one you see right behind them is a Sidewinder missile. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-for-1 special on the Sidewinder missiles that are nuclear depleted uranium warheads on them.
Yep.
I sent you the idea and you loved it, and then we went back and forth, and your suggestions were great, like the missile going off in the background, and you had some other suggestions that really pumped it up, and it came out to be a really attractive little piece there.
That's a classic. It's right there. And again, I invite people, simply go to any search engine and type in Israel sells American technology and start reading. And if it doesn't make you mad, well, there's a lot of things that make us mad now. You know, you just don't care. We've been sold out and betrayed by that country and others for decades, too many decades to count. Jack Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, knew the Israelis were stealing weapons-grade plutonium from the United States. He knew it. That's why he demanded there be inspections of the Israeli reactor at Dimona. Ben-Gurion said, nope. And Kennedy said, yep. And there was a problem there. And we all know what happened. And then they went ahead. And, of course, the Israelis built their own nuclear weapons arsenal, maybe 500-600 thermonuclear weapons and atomic weapons today. And they've been, according to several people, including Mordecai Vanunu, using those weapons to blackmail governments and nations for many, many years. And we believe that
to
be the case.
Well, you know, my friend said, how do I feel about, or actually he said, you know, it's amazing that the art is always has a sense of humor to it, and it presents information that is really hard to take, but you make it kind of fun, and so you can kind of swallow the pill.
Yeah.
And sometimes I actually feel kind of guilty and like this piece, you look at it, and after a while, it becomes kind of fun, you know? I've actually made it kind of fun, but it does present the information, like you said, but... Are we doing the right thing by presenting something in a very colorful... information is the same information, it's just I'm presenting it in a rather cartoonish form. What do you think about it?
I think it's wonderful. Right, I don't care how you knock on somebody's door, just get that door open and then bring the information in, and you do it so brilliantly. This is what you'd call a humorous look at a very deadly serious problem. You could call it black humor if you want. It doesn't matter. But it's inviting. It draws you right in. The colors work. The layout works. And it's topical. There's a Patriot missile battery right on top, right straight in the front. So there it is. Now,
so let's we have to run through these pretty quick. Let's scroll down.
Okay, go down. This is number one. Now, we are at the D's Archive, just look on the homepage under his art, and we're at Gallery 1, and we're going to take a little journey right down there. So we're at the top one. Let's go down to the next one, wherever you want to go.
Yeah, the next one I just did this week, it's chemtrails. You're looking up at the stop sign. You're looking up into the sky, and the chemtrails are pretty serious. With the, it has some skulls that are kind of superimposed into them.
Oh, they look great.
Find out more about the... Pardon
See,
me?
That sky ought to be blue, folks. That the sky that David has portrayed there should be blue. There shouldn't be any of that crap in it. It's all chem crud, chem trails, and the residue, which lasts all day. The way you put the sign, the stop sign there, which is, it's so dynamic, it's on an angle, and it's almost like a finger pointing up at it.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of stole the idea. I was going through some chemtrail shots, and somebody had a stop sign in there, and it struck me. But, hey. So the next one, is that's actually a repeat. I did this 4 years ago for the Ron Paul. It's Ron Paul as Santa Claus, and he has his he's coming up on the sleigh in the air, and he's presenting the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and it's kind of sparkling. It's very Disney-esque, and it's a very happy illustration. The colors are very bright, and I remember if you ever go through the archive, you look at the pieces we do. You know, especially if we go through it in 1 year's time, you can see the events, and you can see, like, 4 years ago when I was doing this for Ron Paul, it was a time of big color and optimism, and you can see it just explode in color and energy. And then after he lost, you can see I got very dark, and I was painting some very serious topics, and there was not a lot of color, but this was from a very colorful time. We were all really happy about Ron Paul, and he's doing really well in the polls. When is the Iowa caucus, by the way?
Next Wednesday. Yeah, we'll see what happens. This is all coming to some kind of a head here. Hold on, David. We have to pause just for a minute. Looking at the Ron Paul Just as Santa and the sleigh, giving us the greatest gifts of all. But in a way, the irony, of course, is the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, are already ours. And here we are at a state 4 years ago where they had been so removed from our control and our blessing already that Ron Paul is trying to give them back to us. And look where we are now. Wow. Hold on a sec. We'll be right back with the one and only David Dees. Okay, back with David Dees, and we're looking at his archives. Kind of take a stroll this hour, looking at some of them. And remember, go to the homepage at Rents.com, look under the art piece there for Dees Archives, click on that, and pick Gallery 1 right at the bottom of that page, and that's where we are. All right, my friend, next up.
And, you know, today I was talking with, emailing William Rodriguez. And if you know who he is...
Willie called me today.
Yeah, he said he talked to you. And he is he's a good friend and a huge hero. I mean, he is a hero. If you don't know about William Rodriguez...
he's a mega hero, yeah.
Super. I mean, just research this guy. He's amazing. But what I want to do is spend about 1 minute on each one of these, and I have my timer right here so we can... get through some of these. So start the Ron Paul piece. Go south. Go down about five down to the pepper spray, the pigs, the wild boars. Actually, they're going down the line and they're pepper spraying the college students there. That is a pretty wild piece.
It's oh yeah. No, I'm just watching it. When you brought that forward. It was so ugly because of the casual nature of it's sadism. These are sadistic people. Casual nature of inflicting pain on fellow human beings make the issuers themselves inhuman. They're not human. And you've made that quite clear. And that's the perfect paradox. They're not human.
Yeah, I got some big, nasty-looking wild boar heads on the cops as they're going down the line, and there's about five, six of them, seven, eight in the distance there. They're beating them up and pepper spraying all these college students, and they're
people rolling around. Right. People don't do that to people.
The energy level's pretty high in that.
Very high. People don't do that to people. Human beings don't do that to other human beings. That's not a human behavior that you've depicted there. And yet it is very much in the face of America today. Cops, of course, have executed nearly 400 people with tasers. We know that publicly in many cases. So this is a further illustration of the great division and the divide between those who allegedly serve and those who are victimized by their police officers. So great job.
Right. Thanks. That was a very successful piece. And the one underneath it, the next one, is a really good piece. I like it too. It's Ron Paul Debates, and they have Ron Paul is the illustrated as being twice as tall as anyone else, but he has a gag on, and mm-hmm. the other candidates have puppet strings on them with a hand, bloody hands animating them, and it says Rothschild Zionism kind of floating above them, as they're all controlled by Rothschild Zionism. And of course Ron Paul isn't being controlled, and he has the Constitution controlling him somewhat.
Right. That's a wonderful piece. Yeah, that's a great piece. These you could talk for many minutes about each one of them. And when we release them, they just go all over the planet. Boom, boom, boom. They just go at the speed of light everywhere. And when there is a particularly powerful one, they're all great. I mean, these things are picked up and reproduced on thousands of websites, maybe more than that. They're classic. They're historic. You are literally recording the times in which we live, and they could go.
People have written and said I'm the Norman Rockwell of the truth movement, and I said,
"No,
you're the nightmare. I'm the nightmare Rockwell of."
Well, that's fine. Whatever.
Nightmares. He illustrated the dream of America, and I illustrate sort of the nightmares that are going on.
Right.
Like if you scroll down five more, you get down to the Halloween piece where the children are at the door.
Yep.
It's from the viewpoint of the person opening the door to trick-or-treaters.
Mm-hmm.
And who's at the door? It's the deformed in the wars in Iraq, they're using depleted uranium, and the babies were being born with horrible birth defects. So I thought, what could be a better, horror? It should show up at your door than the birth-defected babies. And I actually have them there, and they're asking for candy. And I took the worst, most horribly deformed children. And one of the children is dressed up as a missile.
Yeah.
You have to see this piece to really appreciate it. It sounds horrible, and it is horrible, but this is a case where I've taken something that is just unconfrontable. No one will even look at the photographs of these children. And this actually became a very popular piece. People passed it around, and they became aware of depleted uranium deforming babies by this piece. And I think approach to communicating such a horrible thing to everybody in a way that people can confront it,
Well, you did it again there. That is a grisly thing. We're going to see similar deformities because of Fukushima now, not only in Japan, but here in North America. Many of our troops coming back have given birth to deformed babies. That story has been swept under the rug here. You don't hear about it at all. It's not just the Iraqis and the Iranians who are in the pale of that depleted uranium, and the Afghanis and all the rest of them. It's happening here. It's happening all around the world. You'll see more and more of it. In fact, there was a picture the other day of a Japanese man holding up a hideously deformed carrot and some other vegetables from the garden, just horribly deformed. And he was kind of laughing and smiling. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. But soon enough. Hold on, David. We'll be right back as we continue our stroll and just take a brief look at some of these. Please go back and look at these at your leisure, especially the Sheeple magazines. Wow. Talk about an instant classic. That was another one. Back in just a minute. Back with David Dees. Glad you're along tonight to enjoy David talking about some of his magnificent creations. There isn't no one on the same stage with David. He has reinvented the art of political commentary without words. It's just that simple. There's no one to compare. He is the Norman Rockwell of our times in terms of the venue he works in. these pieces of art, literally in 100 years, will, in a book form, I'm sure, be being viewed and studied by historians and others because of the incredible impact of them and the timeless nature of them as well. All right, David, what's next?
I'd like to say hello or a thank you to a couple of friends of mine. I'd like to say to Charlotte, the amazing Charlotte, and Tommy from Squared Triangles, and the Enchanted Land of Norway, Baxter. He's a cool guy. I sat down and wrote a lot of stuff yesterday and today, and it's all sitting in front of me. I guess I should have done bullet points, but I would like to tell you a little bit about what I wrote. I was trying to write about the creative process because people keep asking me about that. And I hit upon this. Do you know, people, they say, oh, I have no imagination. You know, you're so creative. I say, well, look, next time you're asleep and you're standing there in this dreamscape with this incredible technicolor, you know, amazing thing happening in front of you, you know, it's just vast, the imagination. And you're creating that all in present time. And as your thoughts come into it, you change. Like if, you can get in a horrible situation and end up dying in your dream, or you can just change the situation and get out of it. But this is all the coloring and all the shadowing and all the composition you're creating. Never forget that. So the mind is incredibly more powerful than you can imagine. Everybody has it. It's just that I've just do it for a career, and I've developed it a little better than some people. But I could even suggest to you, you know, you can use your mind. I can suggest to you, think of a cat in your mind, and you put a cat there. But if I start to describe it, say, make it a blue cat with orange stripes, and he's walking on his hind legs, now you've created it, see? Or if whatever room you're in, you know, let's say that the chair you're sitting, or the couch, just imagine you put the couch on the other side of the room. You know, you can rearrange your room in your mind and see it from different, you can imagine that the roof suddenly came off and you could see blue sky above you. See, these are all things that I'm suggesting to you, mm-hmm. and you create them in your mind. So your imagination picks up on, but, you know, you can suggest them to yourself. That's really what I do when I'm creating this stuff, is that I have just developed my mind enough where I can just throw it out and work. What I do is I work out the art completely, and I can see the finished product before I actually start. Like, I had the idea for the missile mart. I could see it in my mind, and I rearranged it a little bit, but I just I pulled the photographs together, and then I built it. But I could see the finished product before, and that's how you use your imagination. People do the same thing. Like, if you decide you want to go on vacation, you think about different places you could go, like to the beach, you know, and you can imagine yourself walking down the beach. Do you want to do that, or do you want to go to the mountains? So, but by seeing your final destination, then you can just go along the course, and with persistence, you can create almost anything. So that was kind of,
well,
I wrote a bunch of stuff down.
Okay. You're very humble, but the bottom line is there are thousands, tens of thousands of people who can work in the medium you work in, but there's something missing. And that missing component is not really teachable. It's a gift you have, David, and that's the simple truth. I've seen people try to copy your type of work. It's a joke. There's something special about the way you see the world, and you're able to pull these components together to say something. And then there's the idea of composition and balance and color and all the rest of it. But you have something that is just unique on the planet. No one will be able to do it. And that's just the way it is. It's very kind of you to reach out to people like that and encourage them. Maybe someone will come along who can produce a little bit here and there, and that's wonderful. But my goodness, 55 pieces in 1 year and more, 70-some last year, and you're a busy man. So there's something at work inside you. Something's working through you or within you that is so unique. And I just always look forward to your emails to see what's next. It's amazing.
Yeah, I never know what's next. It depends on how the news takes this. Or you know, a lot of this stuff is very emotionally driven. It depends on
what I
feel about
passion,
you know,
right?
But it's all passion. It's because I don't get paid to do it.
No, nope.
So maybe that's why I'm one of the few artists that do it, because I don't get paid to do it. Most artists are not even willing to work. Commercial artists.
Your compensation is the highest and best kind, and It's not about money at all.
It does help people, and when people write to me, it makes me feel pretty good that people say that that I cheered them up.
You clarify things for people. People are trying so desperately to hang on to all these pieces being thrown at them around the clock, those who are seeking. And what you do is you pull those pieces together and hand them to someone in a beautiful, nice, exquisite little gemstone. And they can take that and they look into it and they can see amazing things. So
that's very cool what you said about, you know, I never really looked at it that way. Is that, you know, you do look at artists, we go through books and we see artists from the past. You know, imagine years and years from now, you know, I don't know how many years we even make it through 2012. But
you got it,
You know, if this stuff is in a book and they look back at, you know, because this really kind of records what was happening in history. Plus, you know, the style of art has a very unique look to it. So, you know.
Oh, I'm convinced. Your works will be studied in the future. If there is a future, there's no question in my mind. None.
That's right. That's really what I'm worried about. I start talking about the future, but I have my attention big on this next year. I think we're going to have some real fireworks.
We will, and a lot of it will be contrived, and some of it may be natural, but it's not going to be boring. That's for damn sure. All right. Tell us go ahead.
I do want to mention that, you know, I'm in here in Sweden, and this week, a couple of days, it was over 50 degrees. We're having the warmest winter in the last 100 years. And last winter, we had the coldest and the most iciest, unforgiving winter. I mean, all of Europe, I mean, there was a satellite photograph of England that was just pure white.
I remember.
And that just never happened.
I remember. Well, it's different everywhere. We're into a cycle. Planet's 4.5 billion years old. We've been here. How much recorded history do we have? Not much. And so we really don't know. Go back 10,000, 20,000 years, these things happen. But let's add to that the undeniable meddling with the climate on the basis of advanced technology and greed-driven governments and military. The Air Force's plan to control the weather by 2025. They're way ahead of that schedule. So there is some meddling going on that can be certainly pointed to, I think, logically and reasonably and correctly as being involved with these aberrations. The sun, of course, is the ultimate arbiter of it, but humankind is pretty damn devious. We're going to go right through the break network. Thank you. Okay, David, tell us about Sheeple Magazine. The first one I saw, we knew it was going to be a series. Instant classic.
Yeah. This is the year that Sheeple came out. It came out, let's see, it looks like it came out in January. The first Sheeple, you can scroll down and find it. The main story is TV is good mind control, and it has the Sheeple fellow, and he's got his remote controls. It says TV is good mind control. It's for our safety, and the angle of the magazine is that it's for the Zionists to control slaves, and this is the magazine they enjoy, and it's everything. TV is great, you know, it's good for you. And it says, the other story says that mercury and vaccines improves brain function, and it shows smiling children. So it became very popular. A client of mine in Portugal, very good guy, he's actually Norwegian, but he decided to have me create this. And so we've done the 6 issues this year of Sheeple Magazine. And it's I translated into Portuguese, so it's very big in Portugal.
The brilliant part of it for me is the idea that you've taken from the enemy one of their hallmark productions of control, the idea of the tabloid magazine, upgraded, slick, you know, people, Sheeple. There must be 10 or 15 or 20 of these things on the newsstand now. Us, We, Them, Star, Celebrity, I don't know the names of them, but they're all about this kind of thing. You've taken that really incredible control medium and turned it around to use it against them, and it's a brilliant juxtaposition.
Yeah, and if you type in Sheeple on Google, it actually comes up. You know, it's on the internet. When I release these, it goes into the internet, and you don't get them back. So they're not really happy about me,
right?
Because these are like little truth bombs that go, you know, missiles that go sending out, and they circulate and they don't go away.
So, you know what's funny? If you had the time and the inclination, you actually could produce a magazine like this. And that would be pretty damn fun.
I like the new one, the December issue of Sheeple. It's higher up on the scroll. If you scroll up, it's the main story is have a sugar-free Christmas. Aspartame side effects cannot stop holiday fun. And it's got these two children that are with their eyes kind of rolled back in their head, and they look pretty sick, but they're happy because they're getting ready to eat these cookies. And it gives the list of the side effects, which is memory loss, brain damage, depression, vision problems, aggression, anxiety, insomnia, hyperactivity, suicide.
Yeah. All
goes on and on.
Yep, all that. It's a wonderful cover, timeless, instant timeless commentary on what we are all about now as an alleged society. Wow, I just am amazed. Okay,
another piece that I really liked was the Gaddafi piece, where you're looking out of a fighter jet, a Rothschild fighter jet, and Gaddafi is standing, and he looks like he's about 300 or 400 meters tall, because he's standing over an oil field, and he has his hands out, and he's like going, "Why? Okay, you coming to get me?" And the planes are minuscule in comparison, but you're looking out of the cockpit of one of the planes as you're circling over and dropping bombs on him. And that was when he was still in hiding, and we still hoped that he was going to make it through it, but sadly he didn't. I felt a real loss there that, they picked off one of the good guys. I mean, he did some... Probably did some rotten things, but
they picked off. His people had the highest standard of living of any Arab country in history, and probably had the highest potential opportunity of any society on the planet. When you think about interest-free loans, free medical care, free college education, if you want a farm, you got free land. I mean, there was no country on the planet doing more for its people than Gaddafi's Libya. Period. None.
Yeah, he was spectacular, and he was one of the last five countries in the world that had did not have a Rothschild central bank in it, and that was they
three,
wanted
three left. Yep.
They wanted to take over.
Yep. Now, some of my favorites. You mentioned William Rodriguez. William Rodriguez is in one of your pieces on this scroll as well. You folks will see it. It's right above another Sheeple magazine. William is holding the gold key. Just an incredible story. He came on this program very shortly thereafter and told his story. One of the most astonishing things I've ever heard in 18 years, what he did and the way he is so humble about what he did. And he's going to be back on the program here in a couple of weeks. Just a great, great man. Very honored.
And he made a documentary about that. He sent it to me. No one's really seen it, and I was blown away. I had no idea he did those things.
Is this a new documentary?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I never knew this, that he was, he saved all those people, okay, in the hour when, after the planes hit, he was going up and they were saving hundreds of people, unlocking doors and everything, and he kept going in and going in, and they kept telling him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And he was the last, as the building was coming down, he ran and he dove under a fire truck, and all of it came down and buried the fire truck. It just so happened that somebody saw him dive under the fire truck. And he said that the weight of everything that came down on the fire truck pushed it down where it was actually pressing him into the ground. And he said because of his training and as a magician that he could control his breathing. And he was there for 2 hours. And that was the first place that they dug because somebody pointed out that there was somebody under that fire truck. Get this. They get him out. They dust him off. What does he do? He starts helping the firemen rescue more people. And there's a photograph of him helping in the rescue of outside there.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, he actually just went home. You know,
the story should be a major motion picture. Absolutely, without question.
Be.
Oh my God, what a story! What a man!
You know.
Just a great man.
It's an inspiration. I think people, they look at sports heroes like they're heroes. You know, this is the person you should take a look at, A guy that helps other people, doesn't think of himself. It's just outstanding. So
it's funny how...
I hope one day I can have him, me and him could come on and we can talk about the art and some of the things we're putting.
Oh, for sure. It's amazing how in times of tragedy and crisis, this failing species of ours all of a sudden rises to its potential. And what William Rodriguez did on that day was humankind at its highest potential. I agree with you.
Now, and, you know, people in war, they say that never felt so alive as when they almost died. So
yeah,
I guess it kind of brings you into present time.
Sure. I'd like people to scroll down a little further. If I can point one out.
Go ahead.
Scroll down until you see, I don't know how many down it is, but you'll see it. It's a black shrouded figure holding a blue earth in its outstretched right hand with clawed nails, and the clawed nails are digging into the planet, and the planet Earth is bleeding. And under the shrouded hood, where the face would be, is the symbol. And that is the most emblematic, powerful statement of what has happened to our planet that can possibly be created. That is an all-time unbelievable David Dees masterpiece. I just think that is, it tells the whole story, David. It's right there.
Well, you helped create that one for sure. I sent it to you. You actually, that was, remember we had that, but we didn't know what to do with it, and you just suggested it, and I pulled it out, and we just worked and built it, and just, that was you actually that helped build that.
Happy to help a little bit here and there, and it's always fun to work with you on these things. I'm privileged. It's amazing. It's just amazing.
So and that's go ahead.
No, I was going to say, there's one for the ages, that one.
Mm-hmm. What other ones did you like? I like the one with the two fat guys watching the TV.
Oh, God. You look at it, and people, I'm sure the result, when people look at this, most of them, when look at that one, they just kind of laugh, and they just laugh because it's so true.
Did you find it? It's down about 10 from the other one. It's on the big screen. They're sitting there with all their junk food, and they look like they got to weigh at least 500 pounds each.
Oh, yeah.
And they're watching Fox News, and it says Saudi Arabia's Day of Rage. And you can see on the walls is all their football memorabilia. So they're into watching football, but today they're going to watch the Saudi Arabia's Day of Rage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a pretty crazy piece.
No, that's a great one. And, of course, the David Dees calendar is on the homepage at Rens.com, down below his splash art. Please get yourself a calendar. Month by month, you can enjoy some of the great works of this man, and it'll be a keeper, as they say. Are you
right? It's the first time I've created a product. I've tried to put books together. I wasn't very successful at that. But this is a beautiful full-color calendar that's 13 months. Go to Dees2012.com. Dees2012.com. They're only $20. And it's going to be a collector's item. You want to grab one of these for sure.
Oh, yeah, it already is.
It's got the Walmart coming down and destroying small-town USA. It's got, what else it's got? On the cover is the you're now entering America, and it's with the concentration camp and the electric fence and all the cameras watching you. It's just a whole walk through the police state and through chemtrails and mm-hmm. through GMO. I kind of put each month to cover each subject, and it turned out to be a kind of a kaleidoscope of horrors and dreams, in a way.
It's right.
Cool. Thanks.
I'm just looking at these, and I want to stop at every one and talk about them. But I would just urge all of you folks to please take some time and scroll down and enjoy. They're just amazing. Get yourself a calendar. Any ideas of putting this in a coffee table book form?
Yeah, that's going to happen. I'm going to definitely do that this year. Wow. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the creative process. I was, you know, when I was in high school, I wanted to be in a rock and roll band. And I got a guitar, and I sat and I tried to figure out how to play it. And you know what? I never was able to do that. Never was able to put it together. I was pretty good at painting and stuff. That kind of came naturally. But music was so difficult for me. And I just never got it together. And when I look back now, I see exactly how to do it. And it's horrible to think about, you know, if I just had the knowledge of what to do. And I'm just going to try to tell you, for anybody that wants to be an artist or a musician or just be creative, what I did wrong and what not, what maybe that will help you. And that is this, is that I was terribly jealous of people that could play guitar very well. And I never would want to talk to them about guitar too much, or I would want to, the point is that I was afraid to almost get lessons because I didn't want to admit that I didn't know what I should seem to just know naturally, you know. I had a learning disability in that I was unwilling to ask for help. See? And now, if I could just crawl through time and just say, what are you thinking? You know, just go in there and tell them you don't know anything. Be humble. Say, look, I'm an amateur. I want to learn. But I couldn't do that. My ego was in the way. I was hurt because I wasn't good as I wished I should be. So you get the point. So the main thing you can do is just be humble. Say, look, I don't know anything, and find people that'll teach you, and just be persistent. And in time, with instruction, you can really become skilled at things if you just stay with it. Anything you decide to do. If you just stay with it, persistence is so powerful, because it points out to the fact that, you know, you might get stopped and you might get frustrated, but if you're persistent, hey, you're going to get up and you're going to keep going. But me, I put the guitar down for years. You know, I just said, well, you know what, I'm just not good enough, and maybe I should just stop wasting my time. I was not being persistent.
Mm-hmm.
Now I actually play professionally, and I sit in the pubs, and I work as a troubadour, and I play for 4 hours a night, and I sing, and people seem to like it. So all these years later, I actually did have my dreams kind of come true in that sense. I just wish that, you know, when you're 20 years old or you're 16 years old and you have a dream like that, is that, you know, you go and you find the people that will teach you what you need to know, so you can get an early start and you can develop from a very early age, you know. These stage mothers, they really give their children these incredibly expensive lessons, but, you know, sometimes these kids come out with this pretty amazing talent very early. I have no idea how they do it. So.
Well, if you've got whatever it is in life, find your passion, do it to the best of your ability. Don't wait for the door to be knocked upon. It's not going to happen. You got to go out and make it happen. David, thank you so much on behalf of the planet for everything you do. It's amazing.
Cool. So the calendar is at Dees 2012. My website is dees.com, dees.com. And all the information's on there, and please email me. Love to talk to you. Love talking to you, Jeff.
All right, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
David Dees, the one and only. Humble and nice a man as you're ever going to want to meet, and as talented as you'll ever see. All right, we'll be back tomorrow night. See you then.